Good morning, everybody. I'm Judy Ballmer. I'm with the New York State Department of Health, Bureau of STD Control, located in Albany, New York. One caveat to our presentation, when we talk about New York State in this presentation, we're actually talking about the 57 counties outside of New York City. New York City is actually considered a separate project area. So as Stefan just mentioned, I will be providing you information on how we developed our Internet Partner Services program from the management perspective. This is actually a timeline of our story of developing Internet Partner Services. It's actually a timeline that spans about 7 years. And the purpose of this workshop is to provide you all with a conceptual framework for developing your own Partner Services Internet-based program. Our program was actually developed in three specific phases: design, implementation and evaluation, and revision and expansion. And within this framework, there were approximately 10 major steps that we went through. I will begin this session with an overview of the history of the development, and then my colleagues, Kelly Ferenzi, will talk more in depth about the actual implementation phase and the revision and expansion, and then Peter LeCour will also finish up with information on outreach guidelines, which were developed as an outgrowth of this Internet Partner Services program. So in our design phase, we actually started out with some fact-finding. Our first step was really to look at what had been done before in the field of Internet Partner Services. And way back in 1999, states were actually noticing an increase of syphilis cases among MSM who had met their partners on Internet sites. So this was very concerning, and some CDC folks actually went out to Massachusetts and met with Stefan Adelson, who at the time was the general manager of manhunt.net. And conversations were had about the internet being a risk environment as well as a venue for health promotion, prevention, disease control, etc. So these forward thinkers got together and decided to host a conference that was strictly on the internet. Rachel Kotcher, who is actually another presenter here, you've probably met her throughout the conference, she was one of the co-leaders of this conference. And the conference was actually held in August of 2003, specifically focused on STD and HIV prevention and the internet. And one of our trainers, Lisa Papa, from the Prevention Training Center at the New York State Department of Health, actually attended the conference. The goals of the conference, as I said earlier, were to inform that the internet was both an emerging risk environment as well as a venue for prevention, specifically for outreach, disease control, and health promotion. Also, the conference was an opportunity for forward thinkers, other states who had actually pioneered in this area, to provide information about their experiences, talking about obstacles and successes to aid development of new program policies for an internet intervention activities. Lisa then came back from this conference. Again, this was in 2003. And a meeting was held, a meeting was convened among principal stakeholders in New York State, specifically the Bureau of STD Control, which is my bureau, as we had oversight for partner services. And the other stakeholder was the AIDS Institute, who actually focused on specifically HIV and AIDS from a prevention and health standpoint. So the two stakeholders got together and discussed the beginning a program using the internet as a tool for partner notification. One very essential document that was created during this period was called the Lay of the Land, and it was actually a preliminary summary of internet venues that MSM were using to hook up some MSM in New York State and beyond. This document was actually a wonderful perspective on the internet as both, again, a risk environment and an opportunity to do public health work. It was really an important document because it illustrated the understanding of the different venues that were out there. It was essentially a profile of profiles or websites, and it was essential for field staff and stakeholders to be able to review this information. Our third step was actually a survey that was developed to kind of gauge what was going on in New York State at the time. We really wanted to look at the local level. Again, you mentioned, I think, from Wisconsin that you have staff who perform in, DIS activities at the local level. From the state perspective, you know, we really wanted to see what was happening at the local level. So we developed a survey with some basic questions about internet use and access and policies and procedures, et cetera. And we chose 10 local health departments. These were actually high morbidity areas located in urban areas of New York State in commissioned counties. As I said earlier, we have 57 counties, but really 10 areas that are really high morbidity. So the survey was developed and sent out to these 10 areas. We actually had 9 out of 10 respondents, which was pretty good. And of those respondents, two-thirds had indicated that they collected information on internet venues partners. About one-third had stated that they used the internet to actually perform partner notification. All had identified access issues. That was a recurring theme throughout the survey. They also had trouble with firewalls, filters, personnel, policies, and engaging key decision makers. And about half indicated an interest in perhaps being involved in a pilot study. So that was very promising. Next, as we had convened our meeting, we actually gelled into different work groups. We had about 15 people from those two stakeholder groups that I mentioned earlier, the Bureau of STD Control and the AIDS Institute, and we formed three different work groups based on interest level and proclivity. We had an access work group for partner services, a message development work group, and a training work group. And the goal of these work groups were really to study what information was already out there, specifically about these areas, and really develop recommendations to bring back to a larger group. Really one of our important work groups was the access work group, because obviously if you don't have access, you don't have a program. So this work group looked at the feasibility of actually conducting internet partner services in New York State. They met with groups including computer security, due to the confidential nature of HIV and STDs, and the risk of getting on sexually explicit websites. They also met with human resources to really talk about the possibility of staff actually tapping into these sexually explicit websites. Because of course we have all these policies and procedures saying, you know, you could lose your job if you access these certain websites which are very sexually explicit. They also met with information technology to talk about connecting issues. You know, what about connectivity? Can we do this? What kind of technical assistance is out there? And this work group also looked at articles that were out there on these specific issues, particularly Manhunt's collaboration with public health agencies from the Gay City News. The article was Hookups and Health Tips. They looked at guidance from local CBOs. We have the AIDS Council of Northeastern New York had actually gone out on the internet and did some promotion and had some banner ads. So we looked at their information as well. So again, we weren't really starting from scratch. We had some good background that we could utilize. So the first work group made some recommendations, and in a nutshell, they decided that due to security concerns, a separate server would needed to be purchased to be able to do this work. The server was actually costing us about $6,000, but it was really an essential piece. And also that access to adult websites would be granted only through this separate server and only by a few select staff. The human resources meeting decided they looked over the internet policies that were presented to them, and they determined, fortunately, that internet partner service work does fall within acceptable use of internet policies because it directly relates to work assignments and the public health mission. So that was an excellent groundbreaker for us. We also decided that specific forms on confidentiality and security needed to be drafted for Internet Partner Services staff to sign prior to be able to accessing these websites. We decided to draft logs for accountability, and the staff were actually required to log in the websites that they visited, the times on, the times off, and the activity that took place while they were on the website. And these logs had to be signed off by the supervisor for quality assurance purposes. And finally, this work group also looked at various policies and really looked at what was happening in Minnesota and Howard Brown, because these really were the only protocols and policies that were in existence at that time. Our second work group was the message development work group. This was happening simultaneously as the internet access work group. And really, the recommendations that came out of this work group were that the messages should really be very simple and direct, but always ensuring privacy. And the recommendation was to adopt a very conservative approach. In other words, nothing was disease specific, just as you would deliver a health referral note to a door. No specific disease information, very general. Also, the recommendation was that we would strive for uniformity in our messages to maintain confidentiality and also for quality assurance purposes. And they suggested that we implement a pilot project in one or two localities to really minimize our risk and be able to refine our messages. You know, use the pilot to refine your messages. Let's start somewhere and go from there. And finally, they suggested that we revise our protocol based on the assessment of our pilot. The third work group was our training work group. And really, the initial recommendation was we really had to essentially adopt a learn-as-you-go approach, because in New York State, outside of New York City, nobody had performed this work before. So we really did not have anyone to rely on other than the other information that was out there. This work group also looked at various staffing models to try to figure out how can we conduct internet partner services. Should we use a centralized model with only one person doing this work, or should we go with a decentralized or regional model, having various people set out in the regions to do this work? They really thought, this work group thought, it would be best to do a centralized model. However, due to budget challenges and out-of-jurisdiction concerns, we really had to go with the other, or decentralized model. And this work group finally suggested that we do eventually, after we look at our pilot, eventually we need to train other people to maximize our productivity. And the training should center around confidentiality, because that's the cornerstone of our work. And also, it should center on internet competency and literacy, and really be a uniform guide for guiding DIS who do the IPS work. Our fifth step was to devise a draft protocol. Obviously, we couldn't implement a pilot until we had a protocol. So the protocol that was drafted focused on the background and rationale of the work. A conservative approach was adopted. As I said earlier, we were not getting into general, we were really keeping things more general rather than specific. The protocol initially also included information on definitions related to partner notification and the internet. It also provided prescriptive guidance for basic procedures, and it was a supplement to the current efforts that were out there when only email and screen name were the only identifying pieces of information. And finally, the draft protocols really provided authority for us to be able to do this work. So the second phase of our development process was the pilot and implementation and evaluation phase. And as I said earlier, this was pretty much a learn-as-you-go approach. We decided to implement our pilot in the metropolitan region due to high syphilis morbidity. And we also had the presence of a fairly new DIS who came to us from New York City. She was a young individual, Kira Smith, actually, and she had some background and experience with the use of the internet. So that's why we implemented our pilot in the New Rochelle area, the New Rochelle region. We later expanded to the Rochester region to have upstate representation. Then, in 2006, we had a groundbreaking situation occur, and this was a syphilis cluster that Kelly Ferenzi actually worked on. What had happened was we had an outbreak of primary and secondary syphilis among 8 MSM. They were college-age students in the, located in the southern tier of New York State, and these were in, actually in various colleges. And we had 67 partners that were named, 54 of whom only had internet information. That was 80%. As far as our outcome, we were able to, because of our ability to be on the internet, we were finally able to reach 20 of the 54 internet screen name partners. So we were able to reach 37% of those partners and notify them of their exposure to syphilis. And actually, there was co-infection of HIV in this group as well. Finally, 89% of the internet partners were able to be medically evaluated. So 18 out of 20 were actually brought in and had complete evaluations. What this outbreak did for us was really point out the need for expansion in our program, in our pilot. One person couldn't handle this anymore. It was really coming to the fore. So this prompted us to really look into further expansion of having other regional offices come online to be able to do internet partner work. Later on in 2006, we actually had a statewide meeting. At the time, every other year, we were fortunate enough to have statewide meetings for DIS and supervisors throughout New York State. And it just so happened that in 2006, we were having a statewide meeting, and Peter LaCour and Andy Evans, who is from Dutchess County, actually came together at this conference, and they presented gay men and MSM cultural competency to 75 DIS and their supervisors. It was really a great opportunity to enlighten our staff on gay culture. And really it was from A to Z, everything about gay culture, you know, a lot of terminology, a lot of behavioral information. It was just a two-hour training where we were really immersed in gay MSM cultural competency to a wide audience. So it was really great. Our seventh step was to send out a second survey. I'm just going to kind of briefly go over this because Peter LaCour is going to go in more depth about this survey. But I had mentioned our first survey was really sent to a select few local health departments. This second survey was really casting a wider net to approximately 300 CBOs, health centers, and county health departments. The survey was distributed to programs funded by the AIDS Institute, the Bureau of STD Control and Prevention, and the Bureau of Adolescent Health. And really, we were trying to gauge, you know, what these agencies were doing in terms of their technical capacity to tap into the internet, examine their services and resources and materials that they provided on their own websites if they had them, explore the skill levels of these agencies and really look at how they host and what their promotional methods are. And also we wanted to find out if they had internet policies and procedures and ascertain what level of social networking websites was and the status of their staff training and development. Our next step, and we're kind of winding it down, was really to draft an internet partner services guidelines. This occurred in 2008, and as Stefan alluded to, these guidelines were actually adapted from the NCSD internet-based guidelines. And we were able to draw upon 2 years of experience because, again, we started our pilot in late 2005, early 2006. Excuse me. So we were really able to look at our own experience, NCSD's recommendations, and we were able to refine our protocol that we had drafted. And this document actually helped us operationalize our program. Our third and final phase in this development was really to look at revision and expansion. And here is a map of New York State. And as you can see, we're broken up into, our 57 counties are broken up into 5 regions outside of New York City. And I had mentioned our pilot earlier. The woman from New York City who had started our pilot actually left the position and went to another project area. And the Rochester individual, Corlita Cummings, had actually gone to another job within the health department. So at this point in time, in 2008, we only had Kelly Ferenzi doing internet partner services, and it was expanding exponentially, as you can imagine. So it was time to expand our program. So we decided to take one DIS in each one of our regions, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, and the metro region, and really train those individuals to do internet partner services. We also decided to train their supervisors as a backup, and also it's good practice to make sure that your supervisor knows the work that you're doing. Our ninth step was to organize a statewide training, and this training was actually put together by Peter LaCour and Andy Evans, who was our, Kelly Ferenzi, who was doing the work already. And we really looked at the people that laid the groundwork and went before us. And we also had a lot of help from Rachel Kotcher, a health communications expert at CDC, and of course our internet consultant, Stefan Adelson. They came and worked at the training and presented the national perspective on internet partner services. We were finally able to finalize our guidelines in 2009. We got conceptual approval from our leadership. And that was actually after tweaking some of the information that we gleaned from the pilot and beyond. And our final step was really to actually hold another statewide training, which was only held 5 months ago. The objective of this training was to really bring people together who had been doing the work. And again, Kelly Ferenzi, Peter LaCour, and Stefan Adelson delivered this training to our veteran and new Internet Partner Services staff. And the goal was to really train other staff in the regions as a backup, because again, exponentially, internet work on the internet was really growing. This particular training was wonderful in that we were able to practice interactive exercises, mock interviews. We also used the internet as a record search tool, not only to perform partner notification, but how to use the internet as a record search tool. And attendees went away with a binder, an IPS binder that Kelly and her colleagues in Central New York put together. And a lot of the resources are actually on the CDs that you've got in your hands. So our lessons learned, really the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you know, this was a really long process, as I said. It's a 7-year process that's still changing every day. And, you know, it's really important, the message is to engage key decision makers early on in the process and broadly. Keep the lines of communication open. Talk to the end users, you know, people at the AIDS Institute, the commissioner's office, Bureau of STD Control, again, because we were the ones doing partner services. Involve your information technology staff, AIDS Institute prevention staff, Department of Security, and finally, we need to involve our regional IT staff as well. So that's it. So thank you very much.